one of the verses we sang in that middle hymn was, clouds arise and tempests blow from order of thy throne, or from order of God's throne. That's a hard one to believe, but it was written by Isaac Watts, the same writer who wrote the song, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. So Isaac Watts had a real great trust in Christ and in his providential care over everybody's life. He also wrote the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. So if you want a good exercise, get any group of music, whether you're talking about Isaac Watts's songs or Casting Crowns or Fanny Crosby's, and look at what they wrote about the Lord. You know, that flowed from their understanding of God and His Word, but also from their daily walk. And you could really be encouraged by a fellow believer, whether they're here or been in heaven for a couple centuries there. So today, the tempests that blow, we want to try to understand the past ones in our life and consecrate that to God, which has always been a tough thing for God's people to do. We had a plumber come to our house about 2 months ago to repair a broken faucet that I could not fix. The plumber explained that there were two strategies for the repair. Strategy A, real simple, real inexpensive. Strategy B, real complicated, real expensive. So, being a person who usually goes for the easy path, yes, let's do A. And the plumber was all said, oh, very gracious. He said, let's do this. And he said, we will do A, and if it's not corrected, I will come back and make everything right. And he was an honest guy. You know, whatever wrong there was, he would fiddle with it. And if it got worse, he would come back and do plan B, make everything right. And without knowing it, that plumber was really preaching from Colossians chapter 1 in verse 20, where God tells us that he will take all things in heaven and on earth and reconcile them to himself through Christ. He will make it right. Somehow. And he's the only one that could do that. And it's an amazing promise that God gives us through his Son. And when it feels like, as Shelley was singing there, when it feels like it rains on you all the time, or your past is full of tremendous trouble, God has a promise for you. And he's never been known to go back on a promise. Because of Christ, his shed blood on the cross, make all things right. And you can get just a quick picture of this by taking the things that are not only wrong with your life, in present and past, you put them at the feet of the cross, where Jesus has given his life out of love for you. And you could see how, I think maybe the Lord can do it. We could trust him to make right what has been very wrong, either done to us or the past, and certainly to the whole universe. Because we realize that at the foot of the cross, it's not just our life being redeemed there, right? And God has a plan for everything he has made, things in heaven and things on earth. So I should have told the plumber, you know, you could fix my faucet and make it right, but Christ can make your past, present, and future right. And the Message Bible paraphrases Colossians 1:20 this way. It's, I think, a good paraphrase. All the broken and discarded places of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together, all because of Christ's death and his shed blood on the cross. So if you go into your garage, there's probably a whole bunch of stuff in there. You know, this broke here, let's save it. This broke there, what are we going to do with that? I don't know. The garbage man won't even take it. So there it is. And somehow God says, I will make this right. Reconcile to myself the things in our lives that certainly have scars and difficulties to that. And I don't know about you, but I need God's help to trust him to reconcile my past to himself. You would have to say probably at least one-third of our lives that bother us have to do with the past. I can trust God for the present. Jesus is here. I sense his presence. I trust his promise. He can help us today. If you're here and never received Christ, You could say, Jesus, be my Lord today. And you could have a fresh start with God, going from heading to hell to the gift of heaven. That God is here now to help us. We're thankful. I can trust Christ for the future because His promises take us with the eagle eye to the future. The Bible says you have an inheritance that can't fade, kept for you safe in heaven. Boy, thank you, Lord. I can rest assured Christ will take us to Himself. And Jesus said, I'll come and take you to be with me in John 14. And just a way of application there. Start living your life in light of the trillions of years you do have with God. And not just the one day you have left. Okay, that's important. But if you concentrate on the trillions of years you have with God, you'll live that one day in a really honorable way. You'll be putting God first, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. So we can trust God for today, for the future, but can He fix yesterday? My buddies and I, when we were little, run around the neighborhood, get into mischief, we would see wet cement that somebody put down for a new sidewalk. And we'd say, hey, let's make our mark, you know, in this cruel world over here. And we wrote whatever in the cement. Sometimes we write a bad word. You know, we thought, oh, that isn't that funny, you know. Some of the guys who were not thinking ahead at all, they would write their name in the cement. And the older one said, don't do that. For the next 30 years, somebody's going to know what you did. Look at that. And it's there. And sometimes we feel that way about our past and about our sin. Oh, that looks so permanent. That looks unchangeable. A poet said one time, of all the sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest of all are what might have been. Or the things that I did, shouldn't have done, things I left undone that God called me to. If I could turn back time, if I could find a way. You know, that's the song of the human heart that everybody can identify with. When the tsunami hit Japan in 2001, about 18,000 people died very quickly. It's a terrible thing. And one of the early messages that was sent as communication was a problem was this: much death, everything's broken, everyone's crying. And sometimes that's a depiction of what we feel the past is in our lives, or the sin that you and I are asking for God for deliverance from. And He would have us know from this passage, chapter 1, verse 20, God would reconcile all things to Himself. He'd make it right in His providence and His love because of Christ. God promises yesterday, today, and forever can be at peace with Him. And here's some testimonies from the guys in the Bible. As I preach away up here, I am noticing some fans getting out here. And if it's, you know, 76 or more, we can get it down to 74 with the air. However it works for you. So we have some testimonies from the Bible that let us know that God, Him being in charge of things, can overcome our problems of the present, past, and future. Job, boy, tough, one of the toughest lives anybody ever lived, Job. And he says at the end of his trials and difficulties, he says, I know, Lord, he's praying, that no plan of yours can be stopped or held back. And surely I spoke of things I didn't understand, things too wonderful for me to know. So Job is praying and he's saying, Lord, you have a plan with all this, and this, I can't even figure this out. This is too high for me. This is too hard for me. But Lord, it does give me a sense of worship and awe before you. Things too wonderful. Again, the theme sits in Shelley's book real frequently there. Job needed help to trust God, and God gave him the help. Ask for that for yourself. King David, blessed by God, but broken family, death of a son, kingdom gets, you know, war in the kingdom, and everything, any problem you face, David faced, and then some. And he says, Lord, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. You know, all the nations could get together and say, let's do this. God says, no, we're going to do something else. He stops what we try on our own. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples, holds that back. But his plan stands forever. He said, my son and what he did is going to be the dominant theme of history, of all people and of your life in particular. Hey, did you know your life is not about your life? That should be a great burden off your back next time you look in the mirror. You know, you see, well, that's there. That's not about me. That's a handiwork of God over there. And he's going to take me to be with himself through his son. Solomon. Talk about a broken past. You know, too many problems to count. And he said, there's no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Somehow, the things that we do, choices that we make, even and our choices are all always, you know, they're not from hindsight. They're opportunity to ask God to trust Him. That's what we want to do. What we do can't succeed against the Lord, good, bad, or indifferent. We want God to move to the front of the line. Here's a good one again. Solomon. The Lord works out everything for His own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. So if there have been bad things against you in your life, maybe you are responsible for them. Half at least are from the other people or demons and the devil. Hey, God says, I'm gonna be in charge of how all that works out, and He's gonna do it. You could ask if we had the demoniac come in from the Scripture, the guy nobody could control him. He couldn't control himself. Jesus comes and sets the man free, gets his chains off. And everybody says, oh wow, look how great Christ is. So sometimes when you're overwhelmed, it's a chance to say, God will show Himself great on our behalf here. Here's Isaiah. He says, yeah, that's right. God's going to prevail over the plans of men. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. A great word of comfort in Isaiah. If there were 10,000 demons and the devil and 1 billion atheists, and they all got together and said, let's go get so-and-so. Say, you child of God, son or daughter of God. Let's just determine to bring him down. What does God say? It shall not stand. No. They will not have the final word. For God is with us. Let him take those things. Reconcile them to himself. Isaiah says, this is a plan determined for the whole world. Hey, if God has a plan for the world, certainly He has a plan for your life and my life. And I like this one here because it helps us with our, a misplaced focus on some of the things God gives us. Jesus tells His disciples, who about a year from this statement would all run away from Him. But He tells them this, I've given you authority to overcome the power of the enemy. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And how thankful we are that God can help us overcome evil. There are guys, and gals out who have a ministry of praying for people who have real, real bad evil in their lives, whatever that evil would be. And sometimes they would make a little bit big deal about it, blow the trumpet a little bit, just like the disciples did. And, if they have a ministry like that, may God increase their ministry. They could come and solve all your problems by praying away the demons from you. That's great. However, Jesus said, let me tell you what really to be excited about. Okay? Be excited that I have come to save you. And I'm in your life, and your name is written in heaven. If you want to be excited, throw that into your life. Receive Christ. He'll work out the past, present, and future for you. So that's, and the rest of the New Testament shows the centrality of Christ over from Genesis to Revelation and every day in between. Interesting. If read the first two chapters of Genesis sometime this week and count the number of times where God's Word says, and God said. And then it happened. And God said. And then it happened. And then the whole first two chapters, God's like, he's the main character. And you see at the end of the book of Revelation, he says he's the first and the last. So you take the Bible, you read the first page and the last page, and you say, I'm thinking this book must be about Christ. In fact, I think all of life seems to be about him. So I want my life to be surrendered to him in trust of the past, present, and future of my days, that he might fill all in all, and we recognize Christ is the heir of all things, and Jesus plus nothing that we can, we can't give him any counsel or advice. He's gonna make it right. And who but Christ could do that? I don't know about you, but I need the Lord to make things right in my life. There are things in my life, there are sometimes I'm haunted by things I've done 50 years ago. I'm haunted by things I left undone last week. And I want Jesus to say, hey, he's God who was and is to come. He was there. And he could reconcile that to himself in time for his honor. And who could fix it but the Lord? And then God bless the plumber who fixed my faucet. He can't fix my past. I give you three examples of people trusting God and his providence. And two common and one famous. The common ones, Herb and Lily May, who I met early in my Christian life. They were in their 80s and had problems. A pretty tough life. But they trusted the Lord and kind of tough life through. And when anything would go wrong, both of them would say this, and it kind of irritated me. But they would say, hey, it'll work out. It always does. And as a young Christian, I'm thinking, what are you talking about? I don't know if I agree with that, and I don't know if I like that. And, give me some scripture anyway. But in their hearts, they were putting their trust in Christ, that whatever occurred, God would somehow take that and make it at peace with himself about it. And if God could bring peace about it, that was going to be good enough for Herb and Lily May. And I learned a lot from them. They had a stubborn faith in Christ, no matter what was happening around them. And that's one example. Second example, more famous, Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lutz, wrote a book, kind of a remix book, called Expecting to See Jesus. So she's trying to see the Lord, present, future, past, expecting to see Jesus. She said, with God's help, learn to say this. It's almost like a prayer. Jesus, you're in charge. That's her prayer. And she encourages you with this. And if you look at the Graham family, do a study on Billy and Ruth Graham. And they had children that went hog wild towards sin, wrong direction. Brokenness to the nth degree. They had grandchildren that were even more like arrested for this, that, and the other. I mean, it was bad. And yet, they God brought them all to each other and brought them all to himself. And there's not a one. Almost every one of them are in some kind of ministry, because God reconciled to himself even in this life. But she says this, when your loved one is diagnosed with cancer, with God's help, say, Jesus is in charge. Some of you have done that. And that was a trust of God. I had devotions that morning, and I heard you say, my loved one has cancer, but Jesus is in charge. And that built my faith more than my devotion. Okay, that's important that God would do that in your soul. And sometimes you don't have to do it right away or say it flippantly, but God brings you to that point, I think. She goes on to say this, when you get a termination notice and it's placed on your desk at work, say, Jesus, you are in charge. When you lose your loved one and go through the unreal sadness of death, to say, Jesus, you're in charge. A way of knowing that God will bring all things in heaven and earth back to Himself. And you trust Him with that. You trust Him at His Word. Trust God's provision for your past, as one good ministry says. You know, our past is still in need of healing and redemption. Trust God for His provision for your past. And God's unshakable truth is Jesus is in charge right now over everything, everywhere. So we give that to Him. You know, He's over, high over, strongly over the greatest evil, the devil and demons. If God says, no, you don't, they dare not. But we saw that with the exorcisms in the New Testament. One old seminary professor said this. He looked at his own life and he said, man, you know, the things I've done and the mistakes I've made, I just feel bad about that. And again, in terms of history, we could look at the consequences of our mistakes, and there's a place for that. There's some things that we've done. You might say, I'm going to experience the consequences of that for the next 50 years. You know what? That may be true, but what about the next trillion years? What about the next trillion years? God could take that difficulty, reconcile it to Himself, and turn that to honor Himself, even for the bad mistakes you and I have made. And so to say, God is going to do it. An old seminary professor said this. He said, the older I get, the less certain I am. I make good choices. That's a good, humble statement. Older I am, the less certain I make good choices. And he went on to say, but the more certain I am, Jesus can redeem any choice for His own honor and good. Who's going to fix it but Jesus? Give him the credit He could do it. Give Him the thanks He wants to do it. You know, give Him your surrendered life. He loves to do it because He loves you. And so in our quiet time of prayer, you just past, present, and future, how about surrendering that to Christ? Let's do that in our prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we just quote to You Your word, all things in heaven and on earth made peace about because of the power of Jesus, His shed blood on the cross. And we say, amen, Lord, You could do it. Whatever horrible time we had in the past, and some it's unspeakable sometimes even to say, but Jesus is stronger than those things. So he says, I'll make it right. I'll make it right. Lord, give us healing. Make it right. Give us freedom from guilt. Make it right. Give us a overcoming of consequences. Make it right. Help the consequences to honor You. We know You can reconcile those things to Yourself. So help us to know, Lord, past, present, and future, we belong to You. And continue to reconcile all things to Yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.